going to speak about marijuana use in halacha, both recreational and medicinal. The issue about giving kosher certification to marijuana, whether marijuana might be kitnios, and then comparing halacha's response to marijuana use in contrast to halacha's response to alcohol use. So we know that there is an obligation to be healthy. There's a halachic obligation to be healthy. For example, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph writes that Hoel Vehayos Haguf Bari Vishalim Midarchi Hashemhu, since maintenance of the body in the healthiest sound condition is from the ways of Hashem. It's impossible to really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're sick. Therefore, a person should distance himself from those things which destroy the body and which are harmful to the body. And in the Mefarshim explained that the source for the Rambam's position is the pasuk of v'nishmartim ma'od l'nafshel seichem, that we should take care to keep ourselves healthy. There's also a line in the Tur in Or Chaim Simon Kuf Nun Hey, which also suggests that there's a mitzvah to be healthy. And we know that marijuana use can be harmful to our health for a variety of reasons. And the CDC reports that about 1 in 10 marijuana users will become addicted. For people who begin using marijuana before the age of 18, the number rises to 1 in 6. Heavy users of marijuana can have short-term problems with attention, memory, and learning, which can affect relationships and mood. And it can also affect brain development. It may reduce attention, memory, and learning functions. And the effects may last a long time or may even be permanent. The impact, of course, depends on many factors, and it's different for each person. And it depends on the amount of what's called tetrahydrocannabinol, which is THC, in marijuana, how often it's used, the age of first use, and whether other substances are used at the same time. The CDC also lists risks of cancer, heart health, lung health, mental health like disorientation, anxiety, paranoia, and temporary psychosis and poisoning. And there is a disagreement whether it is considered a gateway drug, whether using it leads a person to use other drugs. Currently, medical use of marijuana is legal with a doctor's recommendation in 36 states, and recreational use of marijuana is legal in 17 states, including New York. And in March 31st of this year, the marijuana legalization law was signed by the governor. And the question is, should legality impact its halachic advisability? Now, why would you think it should? Well, there is a concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem, that Hashem protects the foolish. That's what it literally means. And there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Tes Amud Beis, which talks about bloodletting, which took place in Talmudic times. And the Gemara says that it's dangerous to engage in bloodletting on Friday because people would eat fish for their Shabbos meal on Friday night, the day of bloodletting. But nevertheless, since people have accepted the risk, what's called Kevin Shadashu Beirabim, therefore, the Gemara says, Shomer Psayim Hashem, Hashem will protect the foolish. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. And therefore, you're allowed to engage in bloodletting on Friday, even though you're going to eat fish on Shabbos. Now, maybe then you could argue that since with the legality of marijuana, let's say a lot of people use it, so maybe you can say, even though it's unhealthy, Shomer Psayim Hashem. So, Rav Avadya Yosef in Chela Gimel Yoredea Simon Sama Simon Zion limits this leniency of Shomer Psalim Hashem to cases of mitzvah or real need. So it could be that eating the fish on Shabbos, so that's a mitzvah of having a nice suda on Shabbos. The question is, what's the real need of taking marijuana? So the question is, would that leniency apply of Shomer Psalim Hashem, would that apply to marijuana based on this? There was an article from the COR, which is a Toronto Kashrus organization, in 2019 that addresses this question of Shomer Psalim Hashem as it applies to taking marijuana. And the author of the article writes that after some careful thought and reconsideration, it is evident that the logic of using Shomer Psalim Hashem to allow use of marijuana is inherently flawed. The rabbis relied on this principle only if there is no clearly posed threat of danger. But if the threat of danger is clearly documented, such as it is in regard to the use of marijuana, then the fool may no longer rely on the heavenly guardian to watch over him, no matter how many other people are doing the same. So apparently, the Gemara's case of bloodletting, it wasn't 100% clear that it's a clearly documented. There was a concern. But here, with marijuana, it's clearly documented, so you don't have the leniency of Shomer Psalim Hashem. This was the Tzitzit Eliezer in Chelak Tezvav Simen Lamites, who gives the Svara, and he cites a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Beis. And the truth is that the RCA wrote a responsum in 2006 that said smoking is halachically forbidden, even though a lot of people do it, for a reason similar to this. The Shomer Psalim does not apply if the danger is clearly documented. Even again, if it's legal, everyone does it, or a lot of people do it, the leniency of Shomer Psalim Hashem does not apply. Perhaps the two most popular letters regarding the halachic and hashkafic perspective of taking drugs were written by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1964, and Rav Moshe Feinstein in 1973. Lubavitcher Rebbe addressed the following question. And that was, maybe you can make the argument that you can reach great spiritual heights by taking marijuana because you get on a high. Maybe in that state you can feel more connected to God. And he writes the following. This is regarding actually the taking LSD. And he writes, quote, what I can say is that the claim that the said drug can stimulate mystical insight is not the proper way to attain mystical inspiration, even if it had such a property. The Jewish way is to go from strength to strength, not by means of drugs and other artificial stimulants, which have a place only if they are necessary for the physical health in accordance with the mitzvah to take care of one's health. I hope that everyone will agree that before any drugs are taken, one should first utilize all one's natural capacities, and when this is done truly and fully, I do not think there will be a need to look for artificial stimulants. I trust that you and your group, in view of your yeshiva background, have regular appointed times for the study of Torah and the inner aspects of the Torah, namely the teaching of Chassidus, and that such study is in accordance with the principle of our sages, namely the essential thing is the deed, i.e. the actual conduct of the daily life, in accordance with the Torah and mitzvot, prayer, tefillin, kashrus, etc., etc. This is only a matter of will and determination, for nothing stands in the way of the will. I trust that you are also using your good influence throughout your environment. Essentially, Lubavitcher Rebbe basically says that Torah's perspective of reaching spiritual heights is not through drugs, but through the study of Torah, including Chassidus and the observance of mitzvos. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein dealt with a question specifically relating to marijuana in 1973, Isur Ishun Samim. This is in Yoredea Chela Gimel Simon Lamed Hei. And he lists a whole bunch of issues. He lists the issue that it's damaging to the body and the mind, which will prevent him from studying Torah and davening and observing mitzvot properly. It elicits within the user a stronger desire for things, which is one of the problems associated with the ben sora umora. It will lead to greater crimes. There will be a lack of kibud av ha'eim. It's a violation of kedoshim tiyu, and leads to other prohibitions. Insomnia has three issues: the danger to damage to the body or mind, danger of addiction, and loss of control. This was obviously about 50 years ago, this tshuva. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote a piece or passage in his work B'Madane Shlomo Amud Kuf Mem Ches, where he writes that it harms the body. Rav Yaakov Ariel, a 21st century post-exilic, who's living around now, so he writes the following. And it was a question, it was addressed to him: what's the prohibition against taking soft drugs, which brought in sensation and imagination? And he writes, your question was addressed by the Ramban. He calls this degraded with the Torah's license, Novel Rishus HaTorah. One who licenses himself, for example, to gorge himself on wine, meaning to be alcoholic. The sensation and imagination of which you speak are counter to the human destiny of truly actualizing one's potential, fulfilling the command, you shall be holy. Even if we would ignore, as it were, the problem of addiction and the harm which, God forbid, a person who takes drugs could inflict upon himself or others, a person's entry into a situation in which he loses intellectual control, entering the influence of drugs upon his sensation and imagination, and elevating them over his intellect would be a great corruption. Essentially, the Torah expects us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a full mind, with our full faculties, and taking drugs does not allow us to be in our full faculties in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu best. Now, it should be noted that for medicinal use, poskim are very lenient. For example, not only can you take, obviously, drugs to heal yourself, but sometimes drugs can be taken to lessen your pain. For example, morphine can be given to a dying patient, even though it may hasten his death. Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in Nishmas Avram Yerodea Shin Lamites as saying that it's permissible to give morphine to a dying patient, even though in the long run it may hasten the death of the patient. The reason is that it is considered part of the treatment of the patient. Two conditions, however, must be met. Number one, the purpose of giving the morphine must be to deal with the pain and suffering and not to hasten the patient's death. And number two, the medicine must be administered in doses that don't pose an immediate risk to the patient. Now, this condition is relevant to medical marijuana in that large quantities of marijuana can lead to heart attack and other heart issues. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein has an article, Tchubin, where he was asked whether a dying patient could take LSD to alleviate the suffering. In the article, Rav Zilberstein asked Rav Yashiv if Rav Moshe's tshuva that he wrote in 1973 is applicable. And Rav Yashiv wrote that Divrei Bal Igros Moshe Deveru al Adabari Velo al Mesukad Bal Seva Kasher Rotsu Lahakel Yisurav. Now, Rav Moshe's tshuva only applies to healthy people, not people who are suffering from life-threatening illnesses who want to alleviate their pain. And so therefore, it would be allowed. Now, the discussions are about people with life-threatening illnesses who want to deal with the pain. There are people who are also advocating for medical marijuana and dealing with non-life-threatening illnesses. For each of these situations, we have to consider which of the risk aspects are, you know, what's applicable, what's not. Do the potential benefits outweigh the potential risk? Will lead to addiction? Will enable someone to perform mitzvos, or will inhibit one further? What will other behavioral effects be? So these are things that someone should consult a competent doctor to discuss whether medicinal marijuana is appropriate under various circumstances. Should kosher organizations give certification to marijuana? Now, the OU grants hashgacha under tight supervision. There is a press release by the OU dated January 7th, 2016, when the OU, after the OU granted Kasha certification to pharmaceutical-grade medical marijuana extract products manufactured by Vireo Health of New York. And the OU in this press release wrote that their supervision is limited to medical marijuana, which is fundamentally different than recreational marijuana. The OU-certified product is sold only in New York State, in designated centers, in one of the most tightly controlled programs in the world, and it's unlikely that its use will lead to substance abuse. And to qualify to use this product, a patient must be a New York resident or treated in New York and must be certified by a New York physician who's registered with the New York State Department of Health to recommend a medical marijuana use. There are 10 serious medical conditions that qualify a patient: cancer, HIV infection, ALS, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injury, epilepsy, inflammatory bowel disease, neuropathy, and Huntington's disease. And these conditions must have the following associated or complicating conditions. I think it's called wasting syndrome, severe or chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, or severe or persistent muscle spasms. Now, in the press release, the OU wrote that because of these tight controls of the nature of pharmaceutical grade medical marijuana, it is extremely unlikely that these medicines will be used in any other manner than the intended use. Now, in the press release, they also write that some have thought that maybe a natural product derived from the cannabis plant for a life-threatening condition does not require certification. This is factually incorrect. The OU-certified kosher marijuana product comes in three forms: pills, oils, and vapor. While the cannabis plant is inherently kosher, the final product may contain kosher-sensitive ingredients such as alcohol, gelatin, and oil. The qualified medical conditions are not always life-threatening, and even in such instances where there is a threat to life, it is preferable to use a kosher medication when available. So this is the OU's position regarding kosher certification. As far as I'm aware, other mainstream national kosher organizations do not give kosher certification. So for example, the COR, that's the Toronto Kosher certification. So Canada, in Canada, marijuana is legal both for recreational and medicinal purposes. And in a press release, they wrote that a COR endorsement of a marijuana product may create the unintended impression that marijuana is acceptable even for recreational use. Furthermore, kosher certified medicinal manufacturers would inevitably be growing into the kosher certified manufacturers of marijuana, which include the recreational market, especially in light of Canada's decision to legalize marijuana. At that point, it would be difficult for COR to retract certification over a perfectly legal business decision that the company made because it appears unethical to our rabbis. That is what they're arguing, is that kashrus shouldn't, it's difficult for people don't like it when kashrus gets into the business of giving or not giving hashgacha based on ethical considerations. That basically they generally give kashrus certification on whether the food is kosher. And then once they're saying we're going to give it for medicinal and not recreational, so then there's the whole question of should that be the role of a kosher organization. And they also write, finally, once edible medicinal marijuana products are available online or over the counter, they are bound to be abused and used for recreational purposes. For these reasons, coupled with the fact that patients who are prescribed medicinal marijuana have non-edible options such as pills, capsules, or even edible options in pure cannabis oils, which are inherently kosher, it was decided to decline all requests for COR certification. So basically the COR feels that the slippery slope is too great, and you can buy medications in pill and capsule form, which do not cause kosher problems. I recently spoke to Rabbi Moshe Elephant from the OU, and he said that medicinal marijuana can only be sold now with a prescription, even though now in 2021, there are many doctors who are more liberal, and you probably could find a doctor, some who have more liberal views about prescribing marijuana. There's only so much that the OU can do, and they will only certify medicinal marijuana as long as the Surgeon General feels that is like cigarettes as opposed to a food item. In other words, even though legally many states are in the process of legalizing marijuana, it doesn't change their opinion that they feel it's harmful, and they would not give kosher certification for recreational use. As long as the Surgeon General treats it like cigarettes, saying that it is harmful. So, but the OU will give hashgacha and continues to give hashgacha to medicinal marijuana, but many other kosher stations do not. Rabbi Reese, he is the head of the Chicago-based in CRC, so he suggested that maybe we take the egg matzah approach. What's the egg matzah approach? You give certification, and you say it's only good for just like egg matzah. There are kosherization that give hashgach the egg matzah and say for Pesach, and they say it's only good for cholim, for sick people. So maybe take that view for marijuana. He thinks, no, but it might be different. That there's more of a chance of abuse when it comes to marijuana. So, but CRC right now does not give hashgach. So that's an interesting debate between the OU and other kosherization of whether to give hashgacha to medicinal marijuana. There is a discussion as to whether marijuana is kidneyos. Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, big posek from the 20th century, in a tshuva, chelak gimel, simon kuf, lamin gimel, discussed cannabis on Pesach. He writes that in the laws of kilayim, mixing seeds, the Rambam lists cannabis as a vegetable, not kidneyos. However, there is an inconsistency in the Rambam, and he actually concludes that he thinks that we should treat cannabis as kidneyos. And what's fascinating, in the context of this discussion, the Radbaz, who lived in the 16th century in Egypt, he is a commentary on the Radbaz, so he quoted him, and he is aware, the Radbaz is aware of cannabis's narcotic use. He writes in his commentary, Hilchos Kelayim, Perkei Halach Yotes, the Radbaz writes, Aval aleya cannabis hanikra kenev ochlim also b'mitzrayim. We eat cannabis in Mitzrayim in Egypt. Umishaker, and they become high. Va'omim shehu misamech, and they say it makes them very happy. And then he says v'yish mekom she'osim mehem b'menu begadim. So k'mo she'osim minat pishtan. Some other places they use cannabis to make clothing like linen. In any case, the Star K lists hemp and hemp seed as non-kidneyos on Pesach. Hemp plants and marijuana plants are both the same species. Hemp is defined as a cannabis plant that contains 0.3% or less of THC. That's the part of the cannabis plant that gets you high. While marijuana is the cannabis plant that contains more than 0.3% THC. So the question is, why do halach authorities take a harsh stance against marijuana as opposed to alcohol? It seems that there are the concerns, and it's hard, at this point in time, not so clear medically that there are greater concerns from marijuana than with wine. So I saw a friend of mine, Rabbi Mordechai Torchiner, so he gave an interesting distinction that he said that one of the distinctions is that the goal of marijuana is the high. The goal of marijuana is about achieving a state that the Torah finds problematic, whereas the goal of wine for many is to achieve a taste and not to achieve a state of mind. And the goal is also to make you feel better. There is, the Gemara tells you in Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Zayin Aleph, that wine can make you feel better. It is true. But it's not to give you a high. That's not the goal. The goal is taste and to calm you. A second difference is that wine has a sacred place in Jewish tradition, whereas marijuana has no sacred place, no sacred role in Judaism. Don't get me wrong, there are still many dangers associated with alcohol, and the Torah is not shy from telling us about the dangers of alcohol. What happened to Noah, what happened to Lot and his daughters. The Chayei Adam writes that even though on Purim we drink wine, nevertheless, you shouldn't drink it if it causes zilzul, if you're going to do things that are act in an inappropriate manner. So on the one hand, there is a mitzvah to drink wine at times, and we have a mesorah of drinking wine, but we shouldn't abuse that clearly. And we've been living for thousands of years by drinking wine. For the most part, it's been okay. And obviously, there are times that have been worse than others. But since we have a mesorah with wine, and there's a mitzvah to have wine, and the goal is not to get high, as opposed to marijuana, there's no mitzvah of marijuana. The goal is to get high. So therefore, it seems that could be the reason why the halacha has not taken a harsher stand on wine because of the potential abuse than marijuana. Rabbi Reese suggested that similar to what we've said, that there's a mesorah for drinking wine, and there's a concept in Chazal, which is Ala Rishonim Anu Mitzarim, but Havu Delolosif. We are distressed in what was done initially, but we don't want to add to our pain. So he says, maybe it's not the greatest to promote wine consumption in society with so much alcohol abuse, but it's done. It's hard to undo that. We let the genie out of the bottle, but that certainly does not justify marijuana use, especially when there is no mitzvah. So this is the quick, discussion again on the obligation to be healthy, the issue of recreational marijuana use, how we apply or don't apply the principle of Shomer Psalim Hashem, marijuana for non-medicinal use, Rav Lubavitcher Rebbe, Moshe Feinstein's Tshuvos, and some other poskim, marijuana for medicinal use, the dispute among kosher organizations about giving kosher certification, discussion about kidneys, and a comparison to the issue of alcohol use and alcohol abuse. And hopefully, again, we have educated ourselves a little bit to the Torah's perspective of marijuana. And really, again, I want to reiterate what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, that to get a real spiritual high, study Torah, do mitzvos, that's the ultimate way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.